Werk jij met hart en ziel voor je bedrijf? Dan wil je dat je boekhouding net zo professioneel is als jij, zodat jij je ambities waar kan maken. Met Twinfield Boekhouden van Wolters Kluwer kan dat. Het online boekhoudpakket voor de professional. Ga naar twinfield.nl voor een gratis proefabonnement.
Welkom bij deel 2 van de Cryptocast. Het is nummer 245, het podcastgedeelte, B dus. In het eerste deel hebben we het gehad over het laatste crypto nieuws. En dat vind je als de vorige aflevering. We gaan deze aflevering doen in het Engels. Ik leg zo uit waarom. Het is een speciale Cryptocast. Maar eerst even dit. De Cryptocast wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door BitTonic, al 10 jaar de Bitcoin-autoriteit van Nederland. Namens onszelf nog het volgende. Als je graag luistert naar de Cryptocast, vergeet je dan niet te abonneren. Dan ben je elke week direct op de hoogte van de nieuwste aflevering. En dan gaan we het nu hebben over Bitcoin voetbalclub Real Bedford FC. Met niemand minder dan our very special guest today. Peter McCormack, he's a Bitcoin podcaster and he's chairman at Real Bedford FC. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. And we're also joined by the chief executive of operations at Real Bedford, which is Emma Furman.
Hi.
Who is a bit reluctant.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Emma doesn't like to speak, but Emma is
present anyway.
Emma started out just as my assistant, and when we got the football club, increasingly started to help. Now she basically runs it, so she's with us here today. But like last week when I was in Miami working, she was there running the show, running match day, washing the kits, looking after our team. So everyone should know who Emma is. Hi,
okay,
Emma.
Fantastic.
Hi, thanks.
Okay.
Emma's gone bright red right now, even though there's no camera.
Welcome to you as well, Emma. My co-host today is Daniel Mol. He's a producer at The Cryptocast and at BNR Digitaal.
Hi, Everett. Hello.
Hi, Daniel. Okay, Peter, you bought yourself a football club.
Yeah.
Less than a year ago. My first question is, why?
I mean, why not? Do you like football?
Just because you can. Yes, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best job in the world. I mean, I used to think I had the best job in the world. It's the greatest thing.
It is kind of a dream.
Yeah.
Like a childhood dream, maybe.
There's like two sides to it. The first side is, as a football fan, running your own team is hugely exciting and fun. And you know, all I'm thinking about right now, as Emma knows, is I'm thinking about Saturday. We've won our first 11 games. We're playing Rugby Borough. I want it to be 12, and I cannot wait to get back to that game. And so, it's just the most fun. But also, to contribute something back to the town where I'm from. I'm from a little town called Bedford. I'm very proud of where I'm from. And I think it's always easy to see the bright lights of a city and people move to London or New York. I think trying to do something for your hometown and raise up your hometown is a cool thing. Bedford is a town which has certain areas of deprivation and its own challenges, and to be able to do something to excite local people, it's really cool. So yeah, I did it for me and I did it for Bedford.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds well cringe.
That's fine. You had a choice. There were two clubs in Bedford. Tell us about that.
Well, so we actually. So there's two clubs, yeah. There's Bedford Town, who are three divisions above us. So if you, the English Football League is a higher.
You bought the lesser one.
Yeah, I bought the, no.
The smaller
I bought
one.
The, maybe. I bought the best one.
I'm
but
so
the
sorry.
Smaller one. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So the English Football Pyramid, the way it works is you have the four professional leagues, the Premier League, the Championship, League One, League Two.
Yep.
Then you go to the National League, and then below that, it's an actual pyramid. So then that splits into North and South, and it keeps going down. And we're in the sixth division of under the Football League, so the 10th tier.
10th level.
So
level
when
overall, yeah.
Bedford Town at that time were in the 8th, we approached them. We offered to buy it. Emma was with me, actually. We offered to buy it. They said no. They wanted to do their own thing. That was fine. We made a very good offer. So then we're like, oh, shit, what do we do now? And somebody said, oh, there's a team next door. I was like, really? I thought that was their reserve team. And it turned out there was. So, yeah, we bought them. And in some ways, I think that would turn out to be like, a blessing in disguise, do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Okay. And why is that?
Because we're doing better. Because we're
it's winning easier
all
to
our
win
games.
Your games now.
Absolutely. We're winning all of them right now. 11 out of 11.
Yep.
I know. You have
but we also got to shape it how we want. Like Bedford Town has a history. They're over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have an established name and the ground has a name and a colour. like the team we bought had nobody goes to fucking watch them when we bought them. Like apart from their family or the friends of the players, there was like one guy went all the time, and so nobody gave a shit about them. So in some ways, it's like, well, how do we establish something we want? So we changed the name. Which we never would have done with Bedford Town because it's got history.
Yeah.
We changed the name and we changed the colour and we became Royal Bedford and we wear orange. So we got to build the brand of the team we wanted to create. So I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Why did you change the name? Why Royal Bedford? As a matter of fact, I started thinking it was supposed to be Real Bedford.
I had to talk to Herbert and it was like...
You never heard of Real Madrid?
Yeah, I do, of course. Yeah, but so that's Spanish.
Yeah, so... So Bedford has a long history of a relationship with the Spanish. No, I'm only kidding. So what happened was, is everyone
they
got
washed the shore there.
Well, everyone got the two teams mixed up.
No, sure.
Some people didn't know the difference between Bedford Town and Bedford FC. Like, okay. And so the people to get them confused. So we knew we had to change the name. And so we wanted quite a different name. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, I just want a name that's kind of funny. And so I'd gone out to America and I went to see Miami play Beckham's team, and he called them Inter Miami, like Inter Milan. So I was like, huh. Well, so I thought about Inter Bedford, but that sounds a bit shit. So then I was like, well, Real Bedford. Well, that's a good. I went through them all and I was like, no, I like Real Bedford. But the funny thing was, so we did it. We did all our branding, designed all our stuff. Turns out there's another team in Bedford called Real Bedford, a Sunday league team playing Division 5, like the smallest league you can possibly be in. But if you are registered with the Football Association with that name, nobody else can. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what? There's another Real Bedford? So we had to buy the name off them because we designed all our merchandise, all our kit. We done all our branding. We bought the name off them.
Okay. How much?
I think it was £1,000. Yeah, £1,000. So not too much to us for them.
That's cheap.
But for them it's great. They could go and get new kits and stuff. So you know, it worked out for both of us.
Well, what's all of this got to do with Bitcoin?
I mean, that's a good question. Well, it doesn't have to have anything to do with Bitcoin. I wanted to buy a football team. I wanted to buy my local team, and I wanted to get them in the Football League. Now, football is hard. It's a money-based business, right? If you have not got enough budget, you cannot be. It's almost impossible to be in contention for the league. You know, you get random things like when Leicester won the league, but they just lucked on building suddenly a great team, and they had a good manager at the time. But generally speaking, I think about 70% of the success is budget. Now, someone will say, "Well, so and so did it without money." I'm like, "Fine," but if you go to each league, and you had at the end of the season, and you had each team's budget, I think it will kind of reflect the budget. There'll be some anomalies.
Sure.
So I was like, well, how do you do this? Well, Bedford isn't a rich town. They already have a team. How do we build a team and build some interest? And I was like, I think you have to be able to stand for something that can attract people external. So if we'd have just bought the team, all we would have made money is the fans who come to the game on the day and the local sponsors. Okay, we'll become the Bitcoin team, which means we have an international audience that follows the streaming, buys our merchandise, and international sponsors. So it's just a model. I mean, Forest Green Rovers are a football team in the UK, and they're based on the idea of green energy and veganism, and they've built an audience based on that. You know, Hashtag United are based on media. And there are clubs doing different things, and they're all being wildly successful. So, like, that's what it was. And through that, I'm now trying to orange peel my town of Bedford. You know, we got a meet up this Saturday. Hopefully 50, 60 people will come there, of which some will be Bitcoiners, some will be local no coiners, and gradually trying to get across financial education. But for me, Bitcoin isn't any more about teaching about Bitcoin. People is about teaching them what's wrong with the current system. It's up to them to go and then understand Bitcoin.
Yeah, and don't force it down their throats. Like. No. Yeah.
Yeah, because somebody did. Somebody came to me and said, "I want to run a competition at your thing. I want to have like a stand." I was like, "Listen, they don't want to force down their throat. They know we're the Bitcoin team. Yeah. They want to go and check it out. They can. They can come to the meetup. But like, if you force it down people's throats, there's kind of a diversion to it. People just don't want it."
Yeah. So go ahead.
So when you took the wheel, when you took over the club, what things did you change? Like, it seems to me it's very hard. Like, suddenly you're a chairman of a football club. It's like playing football manager in real life, but what did you do?
Well, so you kind of can segment a team, a football club, into different things, but ultimately it's a business. Okay, so we had to focus on the business side. Like, how does this make money? Because at some time point, it needs to be sustainable. Okay, so we have match day revenue, which Emma's worked on. I'll let her talk about that.
And can I interrupt you here?
Yeah.
Because when you bought the club, as it was it making any money?
No,
was it a business at all?
None of the players were paid.
Right.
We were at that level. It probably made 25 grand a year, I guess. And that 25 would cover the costs of, you know, electricity and looking after the pitch. Yeah, our budget for this year is significantly higher. Like, we're talking hundreds of thousands because we've got players being paid. We have invested so much money into the facilities. We stream every game. That costs us 60,000 a year. We put an irrigation system in at the pitch, which was 20 grand. You know, we spent a lot of money, but what we're trying to do is build out everything we need for the future. But for us, a lot of focus was on the business side. Then you have the marketing side, which is the brand. And then you have the team. We got the right manager in. We gave him a budget, not as big a budget as people think, but a good budget. But it's hard to say what we did. We just did everything. Just, you're almost like fighting fire because there's so much. You cannot believe how much there's to do with a team. And lots of little things. Like, you have to have a program on match day. We have to, by the regulations of the league, have to have a program. So we had to, we've got to do that today. Sorry. So we have to make a program. We have to make sure the refs have refreshments. We have to pay the refs. Like, there's so much. What would you say, Em?
There's more involved in a football club than we ever thought, wasn't there? From programs, merch stands, our Bitcoin meetups that we do, just every day.
Yeah.
Stocking, washing the kits. Me and you wash the kits.
Yeah. The KITs.
Yeah, the kit, the football, the jerseys. Yeah,
that's right.
It's a never-ending list of things to do. What we do, our benchmark is the Premier League, which might people are like, what?
Sure, sure.
You sound like an idiot. I'm like, what we do is everything we do, I go, what does a Premier League team do and how close can we get? So we'll look at Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal. So with our ground, we can't do anything about it. Our ground is tiny and rubbish. But we've improved it. But like, when we do our programs, okay, what does a Premier League team do? Okay, we can do some of that. When we do our player photography, we can do some of that. Our website's pretty good for a team at our level.
Yeah, definitely.
You look at teams that are like levels above us, their websites are rubbish. So we're constantly trying to create that. And then, because what that does, it creates a culture in the club of success. Success based on working hard. Like, we work so hard. Me and Emma, like, every day we're on this. And that feeds across to the manager and the players, because they're like, well, they're really providing us with everything we do. They want to go out, not only win for themselves, but win for us.
Yeah. When you started all this, what made you think you could lead a football club? I mean, you said it's a business. You did run a business, so you were doing that. But it's a different kind of business. You were running a podcasting business.
But for me, the fundamentals of business are the same, right?
Huh?
All I've ever known in business is that if I work hard, I can do all right. So I just work hard. So I get up at 6 and I just work hard and I focus on the detail and treat people well. That's all I've ever known. So if it's a podcast, what I'm doing is I'm making sure I've got the best website with the best marketing. I'm on every platform just by working hard, just doing all of that. It's the same with the football club. It's just about working hard. I don't know I can do it. I'm just trying. It's working at the moment. Will it work forever? I don't know. But I'm. There's no point where I said, like, I even think about that. I just get on with it.
Yeah. Okay. How much does a football club like Bedford FC cost anyway?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't really talk about that because we agreed the finances with who we bought it from will be undisclosed. But not a lot. I mean, it's like negligible compared to how much we're spent investing into the club.
Nothing a Bitcoin podcaster can't afford.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe. But to do what we really want to do long term, I'm going to need people to want to invest and get behind this. You know, football's expensive and we're treating it like a startup. We therefore have to spend ahead of, you know, where we ultimately think we'll get. And that means ultimately, like, I can't afford to do all that. I'm not wealthy.
You are famous. And you're well known. And you're well known in the Bitcoin world.
Yes.
And you managed to get some money from
Sponsors.
A whole lot of sponsors.
Yeah.
Bitcoin companies like Gemini, like Compass Mining,
Casa,
and a whole lot more. Yeah. So was it easy for you to convince them to give you money for your football club?
I think, yeah, but I think it's also in that these are all people I've worked with before. And so I think they trust me. They're like, I say I'm going to create my podcast. They know how hard I work at that, and the podcast has been successful. So when I said, look, this is what I'm going to do with the football club, I think they're like, well, we trust Pete. You know, he's done that before. What will be interesting is next season, if we go up, whether people renew and want to sponsor us again. That's going to be the challenge. And
you'll probably need more money then, of course, being higher up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But we'll have bigger crowds and things like that. But
how big is the crowd these days?
Well, it's very small, still, but it's a lot bigger than last year. So our first game of the season was 273.
It's five people now.
No. We had 273 on the opening game, which is the highest in the league this season for any team in our division.
Yeah.
And of the four highest attendances in the league, three have been ours. So we're getting around like 150 to 170, apart from the opening one. But this game this Saturday, I'm hoping we're going to have over 200. I've got a feeling. We're running a Bitcoin meetup beforehand. A lot of people have told me they're going to try and come. So the goal.
And how many listeners was your podcast attracting again?
Well, listeners and downloads are different things. I mean, it does 1 to 1.3 million a month, but that could be somebody listening to.
That's a very different ball game, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's probably about the same as the population of Bedford. So, but you know, people. What we're trying to do is make the day fun. When people come, they have a good time. They can have a beer, bacon sandwich. They hang out with a young group of people who are excited. They see some good football. And what we hope is to go and go, you know what, I enjoyed that. And they want to come back. So that's what we're working on. And it's kind of working, but it's like recruiting Bitcoiners. You kind of have to do it one at a time. You have to, you know what it's like. You sit down with somebody, you explain them why the fiat system is bullshit. You explain them what Bitcoin does, and they might get interested. Recruiting football fans is the same. It's just like one at a time.
But you're actually now making a point of telling those 200 spectators about Bitcoin, explaining to them
but
what
not,
that is.
But again, not in their face. So like we have the Bitcoin meetup, they can come to that. Now, if they read our program, they'll see Bitcoin mentioned. Maybe few of them have checked out the podcast. But we're not going... Here, we're a Bitcoin club. Go and learn about this. Buy this. You've got to pay in Bitcoin. We're not doing any of that. We are exposing them to the idea it exists, but it's up to them to go and to dive in.
It's a football club first and foremost.
Yeah, it's a football club. Just Bitcoin is part of our DNA.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's part of the DNA of my work.
Still, when you bought it, you said something like it's going to be managed according to the Bitcoin standard.
So, yes. I
what
mean,
does
the
that
ultimate
even
goal.
Mean?
Yeah, so ultimately, I plan our finances long term based on Bitcoin, but we are a fiat business. So what I mean by that is we have had sponsors pay us in Bitcoin. We have people buy our merch in Bitcoin. We have people at the ground paying Bitcoin. We don't convert any of that back into fiat. That all stays in Bitcoin. But we also, we get paid in pounds and we allow that. The reason we keep that money in Bitcoin is that's money we don't want to touch for 5-6 years. Because you never know, that might be the money that buys us a ground. Like if Bitcoin goes, if Bitcoin goes to 1 million, the money we have now in our treasury would pay for a new ground. You know, it doesn't now.
Yeah.
Now it pays for a porter cabin. But so when I say a Bitcoin standard, what I mean is it's not a full Bitcoin standard, but we plan our long-term finance based on Bitcoin, which is like I do personally. My mortgage, the way I bought my mortgage was considering Bitcoin. And the way I plan my pension is Bitcoin. The way I plan my shopping or my next holiday is not based on Bitcoin, it's based on the pound. So we're doing a similar thing. The long-term stuff is all Bitcoin based.
Yeah. Okay. Now you have these crypto companies, Bitcoin companies, paying for a lot of stuff you do with the football club. Most other teams in the same league don't have that, so you out-sponsor them, you out-budget them. Is that even fair?
Of course. Otherwise, make football communist. Allow every player has to be paid the same, and everyone has the same budget. It's one or the other. Football is a business.
Yeah.
Well, you see it in the Premier League, every week. Manchester City is the best team because they probably have the most money.
As I said, the budget is 80%.
Definitely.
Leicester didn't have the biggest budget and they did it. You know, that's fine. True. Arsenal don't have the biggest budget, and they're doing well. Generally speaking, I think if you correlated budgets to league position, if you measured them, it would correlate pretty well. But it's not guaranteed. I'm working on next season now. Okay, I'm planning next season based on if we get promoted. I can't do anything much more for the manager.
Do you count on this promotion?
It's not that I count on it. Absolutely don't. But my manager, he has to go one game at a time. He's not thinking about Aylesbury Vale Dynamos. We're playing at the Cup at the end of the month. He's thinking about Saturday against Rugby. I'm thinking about next season, right? And that's not me saying being arrogant and saying we're going up. That's me saying if we do go up,
we need
to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
I want, when that game ends, and if the last game, if we're up, the next day I can sit down with my manager and go, okay, how do we do it next year? And when he says, I need this and this, I'm like, great, I've got it all ready for you. Because we will need a higher budget. We will need better infrastructure. He will need more people on this team. And so the only way I can do that is I have to know the budget for next year, and I have to gone out and done the work to make sure we have that. And so that's what I'm entirely focused on. So, like, I'm there day to day, and if he calls me up and says, we need something for the team, it's there. But I'm writing my plan for next season, which I'll show you at some point, Emma. And that is based on us going to get promoted again. Again, once that season starts, I'll be planning the next one. And look, if it doesn't work out, we don't get promoted, fine. We go again. But I'm absolutely, absolutely focused on next season.
So who's in charge of the footballing side of the business? Do you just appoint a manager and, like, rely on his expertise? Or?
Yeah, so what it is, he has on the pitch, I have off the pitch.
Okay, yeah.
So player recruitment, picking the team, training, that's all him. I don't get involved for shit. If he turns around to me and says, look, I need some training materials, like I need some new balls, like we'll sort that out. If he needs to sign a player, he'll say to me, look, I want to sign this player. And I'll be like, what's the budget? He'll tell me, I'll say, explain why you need him. And I will make the approval on the budget. And if very occasionally we'll talk about it. I'll tell him what I'm doing with the business so he can see what's happening in the future and the team. But at no point am I ever going to tell him what to do. There's never comes a time where I say that player needs to play, you know, or what are you doing here? That's entirely his remit. He can do that. And that's the same with my side. I run the business and I do everything on the marketing side, and that's my side. And I think it works really well. I mean, me and Rob text each other all day long. We speak usually at least once a day. We have a great relationship because we both know what each other's strengths are, and we just let them get on with it. And he is a great manager.
Did you know one another before?
No. I mean, what happened was when we were looking for a new manager, our old goalkeeper, Carl Forster, said to me, he said, Pete, go and get Rob Sinclair for Ainsbury. He will get you promoted. I was like, tell me. He said, just go and do it. And the second person said it. So I met him. I liked him. I liked his ambition in that I get laughed at because I said, I'm going to get this team in the Premier League, which is a ridiculous thing. Like, if anyone else said it, I think they're an idiot. But I'm still, that's my goal, right?
Sure.
And I will set that goal, and I will do everything I can to get there. If I set my goal anything lower, like, I would only have myself to blame. I'm building everything for that. I said to Rob one day, I said, do you think you can manage in the Premier League? He said, yes. I was like, great. You're my guy. He might not. Who knows? He might do it with us. Might
of course.
Not. Who
of
knows?
Course.
Yeah. But, like, he believes he will be good enough to manage in the Premier League, and I believe I'll be good enough to chairman a Premier League team. And that's, like, great. We're both on the same page there. And me and him talk about a lot of things, football and non-football. But, yeah, he's my guy, and I look... We've played 11 league games. We've won 11 league games. We've got 33 points. We're crushing it. Quite a lot of goals. That is the team he assembled and his gameplay, and he's delivered.
I wanted to ask about the team because you attracted quite a lot of good players. We did a podcast before on Real Bedford, as I told you, and I Googled Dan Walker. I Googled Tom Hitchcock, who got, like, experience at way bigger clubs.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hitchcock played in the division below the Premier League.
Exactly.
He scored in his debut for QPR. Yeah.
And at first, I was Googling these guys, searching at Transfermarkt, which is this website where you can see everything. And I was like, this guy played at QPR, MK Dons, Rotterdam. This guy...
Doesn't belong at the top level.
How do you attract these guys?
Well,
how do they react to the Bitcoin story?
I mean, look, most of them don't really care about the Bitcoin thing. I think what they care about, it's not the Bitcoin thing, it's the fact that, like, they're playing at this level, but we're doing things right. We're getting crowds. We're getting interest.
Being ambitious.
Being ambitious. Doing things in the right way. Like, most lads are kind of playing at the level they should. If you've got a bit more money, you can attract people down. Most of our players could probably play the level above. Some of them, if they're honest, only a couple, I think, could go higher. Dan Walker could play step 4, no problem.
Yeah.
I think it's not the Bitcoin thing. It is the ambition and how we're doing it. Well, what do you think? What do you think the players like?
What do you think the players like about playing for us? That we're a new team, and I think because you've got the ambition, and I think they want to drive that ambition. They're such a great bunch of boys, aren't they? Get on really well, and I think they know that Pete is really passionate about it, and I think that's what they're involved in. They're all excited where we're at and where we're taking it.
Winning is infectious.
Of course.
So however ambitious you are and how much of good a team spirit, if you're going to lose your first 3 or 4 games, that's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not, and we're winning every game. And now we've got like a shield up that people are trying to penetrate and they can't. And that buzz and that atmosphere breathes through the whole club. So in terms of the players, like Tom Hitchcock, his debut was QPR, scored in his debut. Some people just fall down the leagues. They just do. Yeah. And for whatever reason, he did. And I maybe at one point he thought of giving up. But he is, when you go and watch us, he's the most naturally talented player on the pitch. Yeah. In terms of the way he moves and reads the game, you're like, yeah, you get it. And do you know what? He's really starting to like play well. He scored my favorite goal our team have scored this season. It's not obviously the favorite goal because it's a header from across. You know, we've got this lad, Kevin Owusu, who keeps bashing them in from 30 yards, which are amazing goals. But this movement of this goal and the way he headed it in, I thought, honestly, it was like Premier League the way that happened. Dan Walker, Dan Walker's at Bedford Town. They got promoted last year. They're up in step 3. It just was, I think step 3 is just a big push for him. He would maybe say he could, but he had the opportunity to come to us. It is a local team. It is Bedford, and he wants to be part of it. The thing now is people, sometimes you've got to attract people by offering a good wage. Now, we don't overspend. We're not taking mercenaries. People now want to come to us. People are getting in touch saying, I want to play for that team. I want to be at that team. They want to be part of this team. They want to be part of the club. They see the excitement of where it's going.
In the podcast with Dominic Frisbee, if I'm correct, yeah. you even told that like scouts from Argentina and from France were contacting you.
But I think these people are scammers, right? I think what they are. I think these people are just, they're not proper scouts. They're
Nigeria,
just
perhaps.
They're just finding like little kids in areas who maybe got a little bit of talent. They've missed the thing and they're trying to get them to these clubs.
Of course.
We're not going to bring some kid from Argentina to the 10th tier.
Daniel mentioned a podcast we did earlier on crypto and football. We had this crypto and football expert called Remy van der Nagel. He works at Bitfavo, a Dutch crypto company. And he said with the kind of players they have now at Real Bedford and the kind of money they have now there, they're going to do one walkover after another. They can go... How many levels up do you remember?
Yeah, I wasn't so sure of that. I didn't agree.
4 or 5 levels up?
Yeah, maybe. But
where do you think the way Real Bedford plays now, the team actually belongs?
We belong in the division above. So if we were in the division above, I wouldn't confidently say we would win it. I would say we'd have a good chance of the playoffs. We certainly would be in the top half. Okay,
right.
That's not a problem. And I feel like the top 2 or 3 teams in our division would do that, but only 2 can go up every year, right? If we do go up, I think for us to go and challenge to win that title, we need to sign probably 4 players, maybe 5, you know, maybe from the division above that to go and have a chance. If we would maybe, like, 2 divisions above us, we would maybe beat the teams at the bottom, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of... So we're in step 6.
We're very realistic there.
Yeah, I mean, we're in step 6. At the end of the month, we're playing a step 5 team, division above in the cup. We're going to give them a good game. They're not going to be looking forward to that.
It's going to be a good test.
Well, it's a shit draw for them because we've got nothing to lose. No, if we lose, it's like, well, you expected you're playing a higher team.
Yeah.
They've got everything to lose. Like, if they lose to us, we're going to be like, hey, you lost to a step 5 team. So, step 6 team. So, look, we are better than step 6, I think we're a top half step five team playing in step six.
Right now, yeah. It is.
Yeah. Sure. What did you learn so far?
Oh, God. Shit, what have I learned so far? Good question. Let me think the one through. I've learned it's hard.
It's hard?
Yeah. Okay. I've learned it's really, really hard. I mean, hard as in hard work. Like, I want to outwork every team. I do. And I'm willing to put the effort in, but it's also, it's like the coolest thing I've ever worked on, so I don't mind doing it. I've learned money does not guarantee it at all. So last year we bought the team and we had it midway through and we had a chance of getting in the playoffs and I blew money on a bunch of players. They didn't gel. Yep. We didn't have the right manager and I thought we could buy our way into the playoffs and it just didn't happen. We bought all these players and spent loads of money and we stayed about the same. That's because we had the wrong manager and we didn't have a team spirit. Now we've got a manager and he's built a team spirit. So I've learned money can't buy success. It gives you a chance, but it can't buy success. I've learned that building community is hard. Trying to get people to come back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm essentially harassing people to come back every week. It's hard. I don't know. What have you learned?
Probably the same as you. Yeah, I think we've learned from the things you've already mentioned.
Emma's a little bit shy. If we was just me and her asking, she'd be like, well, I've learned you're a prick and you like have high expectations. Emma is the backbone of this club. Without her, it would collapse.
Good. Okay. Fine to have you, Emma. What else are you going to have to change to get the club higher up?
I mean, there's certain regulations from the league you have to follow. So each ground has a grading, and so they come and grade you, and it's things like, at the moment, we don't have to have a turnstile. You know, a turnstile where you go through and... Next level up, we do. We have another division. Your changing room's got to be certain size. So there's certain grading things we have to follow. So
things about security and what have you.
Yeah, just infrastructure. Yeah. You've got to have the right infrastructure. Everything else we've got to change is just about getting better and bigger. So, yeah, we'll have to pay more money next year to have the better players. We will need better facilities. We will have to think about transport for players to games. Yeah, there's all things like that. At some point, we will need a bigger ground.
That's right, because if you want to reach a professional level, a ground, you're going to need a veritable stadium.
Yeah, everything we will have to change will be about operating at the right level we're at. Mm. But there's nothing we have to change in terms of like our attitude.
No
and our
building
approach.
A stadium next year. You have going to have to you wait until you need one.
Yeah, well, we kind of need one now. But what I'm trying to get across is there's like... We just have to do everything better and there's more expectations of us. But we have to change nothing in terms of like our strategy and our approach, because our strategy and approach is right now, which is to do everything to the highest possible standard. And look, some people will say that and give you lip service. They're not doing it to the highest possible standard because they're not doing it like we are. We know. I'm not being arrogant. I just know how hard we're working. So it's more about, it's just infrastructure will grow. We will probably need a reserve team. We're trying to invest in our ladies team. We've partnered with the ladies team. We're trying to support them because I think a modern football club needs a first team ladies, and youth football for boys and girls. Yep. We're trying to do all of that. There's a lot we're doing.
Right now, Bitcoin is in a bear market.
Yeah.
Is that a good time to start a Bitcoin football club or a bad one?
I think it's neither. I think it's neither because I think the economics of football are independent of Bitcoin. Bitcoin just enhances it. So if I didn't have Bitcoin, I would still be doing this. Bitcoin just enhances it. Bitcoin, by holding Bitcoin on the balance sheet, if we get to the National League in 6 years' time and we need a stadium, like hard Bitcoin hopefully will have appreciated in value and that will give us the opportunity
but
to do
it. But this being a bear market increases the chances of that happening.
I mean, I don't pay attention to bear markets too much because if you're paying attention to bear market, you're short-term investing. I know by the time I need to touch that Bitcoin, it will be worth more than it is now. It has to be because Bitcoin adoption will continue to grow. And I don't need that money. I don't even need it next year. I don't need that money ideally, I don't need that money until we're in the Football League and we want to get in the Championship or the Premier League, that kind of thing. And then we will have a high budget. And that, that's our strategy.
So do you spend the Bitcoin in any way? Do players earn Bitcoin by playing? Or
no.
Some of them maybe?
So like I said, everything we take in Bitcoin, we keep in Bitcoin.
Okay.
But if we have to pay for something in Bitcoin, like we had a friendly and the ref wanted playing in Bitcoin. So we paid him in Bitcoin out of that. Right. So we have two things. We have our treasury and our float.
Yep.
Our treasury is where all the sponsorship revenue goes in from Bitcoin. Our float is where people like buy tickets and buy beers and buy shirts online. And the float we will spend only if someone wants to be paid in Bitcoin. Apart from that, we do not touch it. This is long-term capital for us.
Are there players that want us to be paid in Bitcoin?
We did have one last year, but no, nobody at the moment. I mean, they don't, look, the lads don't really fully get it. What we're going to do soon is I'm going to be running an evening session where I'm going to explain Bitcoin to them, get them all set up with their wallets, and then we've got these cards. When somebody scores a goal or is man of the match, we put the card out. We're going to add QR codes. You can like tip them sats during a game, which I think will be cool.
Great. Great idea. Yeah.
Tipping really the players.
Cool. Yeah.
Good idea. Are the merchandise sales going up yet?
Well, the merchandise sales have been amazing, but they're dropping now because you generally have that kind of lag. There's like that excitement at first. People buy a bunch of shit, and then they've already got it. You know, but we do keep ticking over. Like, you know, every game we still selling. The first game of the season we sold loads, but we're selling like 2 shirts, 3 hoodies, a couple of t-shirts every game. Like last game was £350 worth, about the same previous. I think the one before that was £600. And
so that's locals coming over.
Come to the game.
But how about online?
Online, in total, we've probably sold now around 80,000 of merchandise, which is unbelievable. We sold like 1,200 shirts. Like people are buying our football shirt.
For a step 16.
For a step 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Like most teams, if they do something, they might sell like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm definitely buying one.
Good.
I can tell you.
You should.
Yeah.
You should buy all 3. And a hoodie.
All 3. Yeah. It's a home one, an away one.
And a training one.
And a training one.
The training one's the coolest.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really cool, the training one. It's black it's black with orange. There's a couple of Easter eggs in it, though. So in the logo, rather than having the established year, we have the established block, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
And on the back, on the collar, it says Running Bitcoin, the famous Hal Finney tweet.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll have a look at that, but I'm definitely buying one.
If we don't have an order going, two orders going to Holland in the next week, I'm going to be having words with you two.
Okay. We're being watched.
You're on watch.
Right. But right now, what's in it for the sponsors at all?
That's a good question. I certainly don't think it will translate into new customers at the amount they've spent.
Maybe they thought, Pete is going to be angry with us if we don't sponsor.
No. I think it's a couple of things. I think it's an exciting thing to be part of. Yeah, one of our sponsors, Ledger, they actually came over, they had a great time and they understood it. But like, for me, what I'm saying to them is like, if we go up and we keep winning, this story will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you'll always be associated with
it. Well, you are the first Bitcoin-minded football club.
Yeah, first mover.
Well, so it's one of the reasons I rushed it, because I've realized there can only be one Bitcoin team. Like anyone else who does it, they're second best. Like we're the Bitcoin team. We're the one the Bitcoiners follow. So we had to be first. But I think for the sponsors, it's like they're essentially investing in me, proving I can do this. And we're proving it so far. And it will only create wider awareness. But I think also it's just really cool to be part of. Like they supported this. They made this happen. Like without them, I couldn't have done this.
No. There is some competition, though. Crawley Town.
They're not competition.
In other words, WAG me. What's
we're all going to make it.
We're all going to
make it.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah, we're all going to make it. Where? They're at the fucking bottom of the league.
Yeah, they're at the bottom of League 2.
We're going to make it into like the conference?
Yeah.
Okay, but they're isn't that a great lens for all of this? Like, we're the Bitcoin team. We're top of the league. They're a shitcoin NFT team. They're bottom of the league.
Well, we talked about it in the podcast we did before. And it's like it's such a negative thing that like NFT people, anonymous people, just buy a football team. I don't know. I'm not sure. When I looked at Twitter, it was still called Crawley Town, but okay.
What have they got to do with Crawley?
Exactly. And you're from Bedford. Exactly.
I've lived there my whole life. Fair enough. I've known Emma. I've spent more time in Bedford with Emma than Bitcoin's been alive. I've known Emma for what, 20 years? Yeah, like Bitcoin's 12 years old.
Yeah.
It's my town. I love it. I understand the DNA of the town. I know the people. Like I walk around and at the ground and I probably know 40% of the people who've come into the games. So I'm like for me, Crawley Town was about NFTs for them. This wasn't about Bitcoin for me. This was about my town, like doing something good for my town, putting my town on the map. Like, I went to the Miami conference, and there are people walking around in T-shirts. There's two. We've got the Skull and Crossbones, and there's one that just says Bedford. And people are walking around with a T-shirt that says Bedford, which, by the way, is hilarious just to see that and surreal. But, like, my town is being put on the map. What's now happened is people are coming to Bedford as a pilgrimage to the game. You know, we've mm-hmm. got some people coming from Slovakia at the end of the month, this week. Yeah, we've got people from Slovakia come into a game. We had the people come from France. When they come, they're coming to Bedford. They're spending money in Bedford. They're increasing the economic opportunity in Bedford. So that's the lifeblood of what I'm doing. These Crawley Town people, they care about selling NFTs. They even like football. They definitely don't know what they're doing. You can see that. You can watch from afar. They've got no idea what they're doing. And you know what? They're destroying that club. And they probably will, and they'll probably get kicked out at some point.
It's a shame, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's a shit show. Like, it's an absolute disaster. But it's, for me, it's the perfect lens of Bitcoin v crypto. Because we didn't create a Bitcoin team. We bought a football team, which has an attachment to Bitcoin. But we are that is a football team and a football club, and it's built and structured for success. They're marketing NFTs and selling shit, and they're having an embarrassing disaster.
Here's a question I actually shouldn't ask you, but maybe people at Bedford itself. But how do the people at Bedford like you buying the football club so far?
I give Emma this one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, I think at first people were a little bit sort of not criticizing, but they kind of weren't. Yeah, they didn't sort of take it very kindly, I think, at first, until we started to prove ourselves. And now I think people are actually realizing that,
yeah, you got to win their trust somehow.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Football is such a community thing, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So you got to win their trust. Yeah.
I mean, what happened when I first did it? I'm a loudmouth, right? So I came out and said, oh, I'm going to buy this team. I'm going to win the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone's like, oh, who's this dickhead? What's he on about? Like, they just thought I was another bullshitter, right? And so what's happened is we've signed players over time. They've all heard about it. And they all say the same thing. They say, yeah, like I saw it on like Twitter and stuff. I heard about you. And I thought it was stupid. And now I'm here. I realize this is like a proper project. It's serious.
Yeah. And winning helps, right?
Winning helps. But like for players, it's how they treat it. Now, everyone that arrives, they get issued a full kit of tracksuits, training tops, training shorts. They get a full kit. They've seen us invest in the pitch and make the pitch right. They've seen us like make sure that we look after them as players. They're like, do you know what? I've been to a lot of clubs. Our new goalkeeper coach, he said, I've played over 1,000 games non-league. I've never been treated as well as I'm treated here. Everyone gets treated very well. Everyone who comes to the ground enjoys themselves. So I think we're now starting to prove ourselves, and people are like, you know what? They're all right, those guys. I think our neighbours next door, Bedford Town, they don't like us. Yeah, they don't like us, but
because they're facing a lot more competition right now.
Yeah, but look, the truth is, it's like they get crowds of like 500, right? That means there's 173,500 people in Bedford that don't go to the football on a Saturday. That's who we're after. We're after them. We want them to come and see
and
us.
And in a few years' time, it's going to be a great derby.
My God, we talk about that a lot.
That's going to be.
So we're going to try and get a friendly in the off season with them. I tell you what. It's going to be some. If when we play them in the league,
not going to be very friendly. Yes.
Well, there will be the biggest crowds of that season, and I'm telling you, they are going to be wild games. And I'm not a good loser. And if we lose that, I'm going to be in a bad place after that. But we won't. We'll fucking smash them.
We've got like 5 minutes left.
All right.
Oh, okay. So okay. Let's.
We don't want to take too much of your time.
It's fine.
Okay. You're talking about the Bedford community and you're talking about the Bitcoin community. Can you serve two communities at once?
Am I not already doing this?
Yeah, you're trying, okay, but
you're going a bit to judgmental.
You're going to have to keep doing this for another decade or maybe two.
Can I do it? The only way I can do it is with a great people around me. Yeah. My producer, Danny, works on my podcast. I could not make that show without him. He runs that. So when we fly out to Miami or Austin, go to make a bunch of shows, like he's done, we agree the guests in advance. He's done all the booking. He's gotten, you know, he's booked them. Emma here has arranged all their transport and travel to make sure that they're on time. My researcher, Neil, who's my brother, he's done a lot of work on the show. So when I get there, I can sit down the first evening. We talk about the guests the next day and we plan the show. We go through the notes. I do the interview. And then once that's done, it goes off. Our cameraman films it, goes off to Ben, our engineer. He edits it and they publish it. So I have to turn up and do that show, and I do it, but they do all the work behind the scenes. It's the same with the football. Yeah, I've got two people like solidly helping me, Emma, who does the day-to-day kind of operations, and Tom, who's like the CEO. He does all like the stuff with the league and the administration and the fines. For both of them to work, I have to have good people around me, and if I don't, yeah. I couldn't do it. So
that's all right, people stuff, but... are these two communities going to pose, well, conflicting demands on you?
I don't think it's the people. I think the jobs have conflicting demands. I mean, when I go out to Miami, I'm not happy because I want to be at home watching my team. So I have to miss two games. That sucks. And the conflict is time, not the people, because everyone will eventually be a Bitcoiner. It's natural. I mean, you can reject it. But that means you're like you're making a mistake because you're accepting a fiat system, which is so obviously broken right now, like so obviously broken. So everyone's eventually a Bitcoiner. Not every Bitcoiner is eventually a football fan. I'm trying to Bedford pill people. It's harder.
But so and it probably doesn't bite each other since Bitcoin is like international. Yeah. Bedford is local. So
Bedford's international, brother. We're in Amsterdam
fair enough,
talking about
fair
it.
Enough, yeah, yeah, fair yeah, enough.
Sure. Would you care to look forward with us, yes. Maybe 5 years?
Okay.
Where will Bitcoin stand then?
Where will Bitcoin be?
Yeah.
It will be worth more than it is today, and more people will be using it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can
That's
give
all you.
You
can care. Okay.
Because nobody knows what's going to happen.
Where will Bedford, Real Bedford stand by then?
It will be higher in the league and have more people follow. Look, in 5 years, my goal is to do something that's never been done, which is to take a team from the tier 10 into the Football League in 6 seasons. I'm going to try it. Most likely, that won't happen. Like, mm-hmm. We will come stuck at one point, but that's my goal. I want to do something that's never been done. I'd rather say in 10 years. I'm confident to say I think in 10 years, I can get them in the Football League. That allows us 4 years where we don't get a promotion. And the reason is I think we'll go up next year. I'm pretty sure we can do the year after. Even the one after that, I'm fairly confident, but then it starts to get tricky.
So what's that level then?
We're at step 6. Step 5, I'm pretty confident. Step 4 is harder, but I'm still fairly confident on that one.
Yeah.
Step 3, step 2, step 1 are very hard. Like step 1 is really, really hard.
I'm just asking because I want to play Real Bedford in Football Manager. And
yeah.
I think they go until step 2. Like
do they?
National South and National
Ooh.
North.
Yeah, no,
so like, that's going to be real.
I might reach out to EA and say, you need to put us in early.
That's not EA. It's that's FIFA.
Oh, FIFA. Sorry, I'm too old to play computer games. I was a Pro Evolution Soccer guy when I was younger. yeah, so I would say if we can get the business model right so we can put ourselves into contention, I think in 10 years we can be in the Football League. Bedford's never had a team in the Football League. But even if step 2, I mean, step 2 would be unbelievable. Step 2, you know you're going to get crowds 2,000 to 3,000. That's amazing.
Yeah. Can Real Bedford succeed without Bitcoin?
Yes.
Good.
But can Bitcoin succeed without Real Bedford?
Oh, that's the question.
That's the question.
Of course. Okay. No, it can, but it makes it harder. But it's not, we don't, it's a weird one. It's not like we need the price of Bitcoin to go up, but like we've got Bitcoin sponsors.
Yeah.
They want to sponsor our club. Now it's going to be harder without them. But Bitcoin isn't going away. So like, I don't worry about that.
So in maybe about 5 years' time, what role will Bitcoin play in the club's business?
That depends I just think it will be more of what we have now. More people will be using Bitcoin. More people are aware of it. There'll be more competition for the sponsorship because there'll be more Bitcoin companies. I just think like our club is just like anything else in life. Bitcoin will permeate our club, like it will permeate other clubs, like it will permeate other parts of society, and it will just become part of everything we do. Like it's part of everything we kind of do now, but like even more so. But I just think it would just integrate itself more. To be honest, it's what happens to Clown World. What happens to Clown World? Does Clown World continue to clown? Like, do we continue to destroy the financial system? Do we continue to like enforce censorship on people? Do we if we continue this bullshit, we're going to need Bitcoin even more, and Bitcoin will be even more a part of it.
Have awesome. You got any more questions?
I think it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Well,
is
thank
there anything
you.
We should have asked that we didn't?
Hey, you know, I always end my interviews like that.
That's do
my,
you?
Yes, I always end with that. No, it's a great interview. I love talking about the club. I'm really passionate about it. I'd say anyone who's listening, who's interested in checking it out, we stream all our games on our website, railbedford.com. So if you want to watch a game, they can. If you want to get a kit, go to shop.railbedford.com, buy a shirt, buy a jersey, support what we're doing. We also collect donations to support grassroots football. So you can base chain or lightning donations. That's at the
top. We should have talked about that. But
okay. Well, look, if you want to make a stats donation, do that. If you want to get in touch, you want to come watch a game, just get in touch. Like, you know, this is a mission-driven team, and our mission is financial education and financial sovereignty, and we're doing it through the lens of football. Like, I'd love to hear from anyone, and especially if you want to fly over for a game, we will entertain you. I'll probably pass you over to lovely Emma. She'll give you all the details.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, just keep rooting for us, and thank you for supporting my hometown.
Okay. Thank you, Peter McCormack, podcaster and chairman of Real Bedford FC. Thank you, Emma, for your assistance. Thanks, Daniel Mol, redacteur van CryptoCast en BNR Digitaal. En dit was de CryptoCast voor deze week. Nog even de verplichte nummers. Vergeet CryptoCast niet te delen met je volgers op Twitter. En gebruik dan de mention @CryptoCast.nl. Laat reviews achter op Apple Podcasts. Andere liefhebbers kunnen ons dan beter vinden. Like, subscribe en comment on YouTube. Dat is een Nederlandse zin trouwens. En iedereen, hartelijk dank en tot de volgende week. Dag, dag.
Werk jij met hart en ziel voor je bedrijf? Dan wil je dat je boekhouding net zo professioneel is als jij, zodat jij je ambities waar kan maken. Met Twinfield Boekhouden van Wolters Kluwer kan dat. Het online boekhoudpakket voor de professional. Ga naar twinfield.nl voor een gratis proefabonnement.